The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 162. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business. Welcome to Thrive Thursday with Dr. Yishai. This week on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, I had Bob Wheeler, founding partner at Wheeler & Bee CPA, CFO of the world-famous Comedy Store, author and founder of The Money Nerve, and host of the Money You Should Ask podcast. In episode 160, Bob shared the story behind The Money Nerve, from changing his major in college to becoming a CPA, to having tax appointments turn into money therapy sessions. He shared his own beliefs that he had to overcome and how he helps clients overcome their own harmful money beliefs. In episode 161, Bob shared lessons he learned the hard way about facing his fears and how to set himself up to learn and grow instead of avoid and fail. Along the way, we dive into Bob's own insights on how fear shows up, what he does to help himself face it, and how he shifted his beliefs and response to fear to turn it into a challenge and learning opportunity to grow himself as a leader and entrepreneur. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to episodes 160 and 161 to learn from a really successful entrepreneur who's really done some of that deeper work and dug into and understood aspects of his own self, personality, identity to harness that and to overcome challenges that he's faced along the way, turning them into stepping stones for growth. At the end of our conversation, Bob asked me how to uncover blind spots that can hold you and your business back or even hurt your bottom line. So today, I'm talking all about blind spots and how to uncover and handle yours. Along the way, of course, you're going to hear stories, some important metaphors, science, and a framework that might really help to address and figure out what your blind spots are so that you can get to addressing them. Before we dive in, I wanted to share that the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 7+ figure business and want to reach the next level for yourself and your business, if you have passions, goals, and dreams and want to continue to strive as a team, a leader, and a visionary without risking burnout, if you have overcome challenges, developed wisdom, and know that adapting is not just for surviving, but a core part of thriving, then adaptability coaching is for you. With psychology and neuroscience-backed tools, the 3D adaptation framework can show you how to tap into and harness the way our brains are uniquely designed for adaptation. You can learn to harness and leverage adaptability tools and frameworks to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to hone yourself further, to proactively adapt, to thrive, instead of reactively adapting, just to survive. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching. And now, without further ado, let's dive into how to prevent blind spots from disrupting your business and growth. I don't know if you know this, but every eye has a blind spot. It's literally hardwired into our eyeballs. But most of us never even realize that it's there. What's happening in our eyes and brains to fool us is both spectacular and a little precarious. Diving in and understanding how our eyes and brains handle biological blind spots might just hold the key to helping ensure that blind spots in your business, entrepreneurship, or leadership don't harm your company or hamper your growth. There's more to this than meets the eye. And yeah, I just had to say it. I'm a new dad, and dad jokes are definitely my new hobby. But that first moment I realized that I have a blind spot, I was actually in seventh grade myself. My science teacher, Mr. Irons, made us draw an eye and label all the components. We dissected a cow eye. The smell of formaldehyde was overwhelming and stayed on my hands for hours. But the thrill of seeing in the flesh what I'd been documenting on paper was equally overwhelming in both disgusting and awe-inspiring ways. But the real reason I remember learning about the eye to this very day is a series of experiments we did that proved to me the existence of a blind spot. Of course, we started off with some basic experiments like covering one eye and noticing how each eye has a different viewpoint of our everyday life, our objects, the things around us. And then we also tried to play catch with a patch over one eye. And spoilers, depth perception and catching and throwing is really difficult with one eye covered. And then we did a blind spot experiment. On a piece of paper, Mr. Irons had us draw a big X on the left, and then about 8 inches over on the right side to fill in a dime-sized circle. Then he had us close our left eye, line up the X so it was right in front, just in front of our right eye, and then move that piece of paper backwards and forwards until that dime size filled in circle just disappeared. And at first, it was really hard to believe that would occur, and it felt almost like magic. But in fact, it's a classic 1992 experiment done by Ramachandran, a highly influential and very well-known Indian-American neuroscientist that revealed the existence of a visual blind spot. My classmates thought it was so cool, but to me, it was a mini crisis. What can I rely on if I can't rely on my vision? If blind spots could be anywhere? One simple exercise showed me how much I rely on my vision, and yet how my vision isn't simply recording and presenting pictures of the world to me, that it's not totally 100% reliable information. I miss things. It created doubts and concerns, showed me how much my eyes and visual system, they're just trying to construct things, the world around me, and that they can get it wrong, even without me realizing. I got obsessed and started really digging in and researching even more. I learned about something called schemata, which is a fancy medical jargon term for loss of vision or a blind spot in an otherwise complete field of vision. You know, a good example of that is if you've ever had or heard of what's called eye floaters, they're called scintillating schemata, and they can be mild or severe, they can be temporary or permanent. In a way, they kind of mess a little bit with the clarity of vision. And oftentimes they're not directly in the straightforward vision, but they're a little bit off to the side. But in addition to that, medications, medical treatments, or nerve damage might cause more serious conditions, more serious types of schemata that affect the direct or peripheral vision, and they may also potentially be permanent. At the time, I had already been wearing glasses for 5 years, so learning about how our eyes work felt like something very important to understand. And of course, I had a few moments where it felt like maybe I was just doomed to lose my vision. But from that moment on, after I got over the fear of losing my vision, every time I took off my glasses, and even every time I do now, it's a reminder that my vision isn't quite as accurate or dependable as we all assume it is. All right, But how does that help with blind spots for ourselves, in our lives, in our psychology or mindset, in entrepreneurship, business, and leadership? Well, some of that goes back to the term and how it got used of talking about blind spots in ourselves, in our businesses, in our leadership, or in our skills, in our abilities, or in our psychology. And that actually really started in the 1920s with a term that was used by psychoanalysts who talked about schotomization. Now that term, which was originally for a visual block, psychoanalysts started using it for people who were intentionally or unintentionally or unconsciously unaware of or maintaining a block from being able to see or notice parts of themselves or their lives or relationships. And so that term then started getting used more and more and eventually kind of morphed into something a little bit more mainstream. Now, it's really important as we think about that to understand how blind spots work and how our brains handle them. And it's just as true in some ways in psychology as it is in neuroscience and in biology. To give you a really brief kind of overview, what happens is with those blind spots, our eyes and our brains kind of fill it in with other information that they have that's surrounding or last known or most likely, or using other past experiences to fill in and in a way almost imagine what would or could or might likely be in that space. So how our visual system is designed to work around and undo the blind spot phenomenon is to fill it in. What's interesting is how quickly that can happen. In fact, it can be nearly instantaneous, which was shown by research done at MIT's Kanwisher lab in 2007. Daniel Dilks, who was a researcher and part of that team, who moved on and is now professor and founder of his own research lab at Emory University since 2013, Daniel Dilks and the team he was working on, they discovered that the way our eyes and brains handle this blind spot is even more pronounced. When one eye is closed and the blind spot for the other eye is just covering one edge of a square, what he found was that participants in his lab, actually their brains and the way they thought they were visually experiencing it, their brains changed that square and interpreted it more as a rectangle. In fact, it stretched the end of that square over and then filled in all the space inside, all of that from just one edge of the square being covered when they had an idea that it was a full shape. It's a wild piece of research with some potentially explosive implications, because what our eyes, brains, and minds do with a blind spot is it bends our perception around it and then reconstructs how we envision reality just to fit around that blind spot. In one way, that mechanism is incredibly useful. We might really struggle if we could only partially construct or reconstruct how we see the world. It would make interacting with the world really difficult, and it might be a kind of outcome or artifact of the way our brain has to take this information and then construct the world. But it could also make leadership and entrepreneurship an absolute nightmare, because there are so many situations in which we have incomplete information, or we may have a blind spot. And how do we know if our brain is covering that up and reconstructing the world, our business, our expectations around that? Now, on the other hand, it means we can interact with the world without realizing how our blind spots and the way our brains handle them might be contributing to misconstruing the world around us. Anyone who has ever had a blind spot in their business or leadership and it got revealed knows what that moment is like. It's like a serious smack in the face, getting struck by something we didn't even see coming. Fortunately, for most of us, we have two eyes that help cover those gaps when it comes to our vision. I know I mentioned depth perception once before, and it has to do with having two eyes focused on the same object, with two points of view providing information. the extra data help create a more three-dimensional view and provide some coverage for blind spots. Human eyes are near each other and pointed in the same direction, as opposed to, for example, lizards and most birds, which helps us use those vantage points as a way to create one unified, more accurate, three-dimensional image. Even though having two eyes and understanding how our eyes and our brains work helped soothe my frantic seventh grader brain when it came to my vision, it immediately made me wonder if there are other ways that I might be missing critical information. And it gave me another approach to help fix that problem. You need a second perspective, one whose information you can trust and rely on just as much as your own. One that you're willing and able to merge with your own perspective and information to see and construct and understand the world in 3D with depth. And one you can rely on to fill in information that you don't have. Now, to talk about that and dig into that, I wanted to talk about the Johari window model, which was really developed in the 1950s and was a result of the experience and work of Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham in working with psychotherapy groups. According to their model, there's a window-like grid with four panes. And so there are two axes. On one axis is the self versus the other. And the other axis is what is known versus what is unknown. So if you create a grid, like a four-paned window, then you'll have what is known to the self and others. That's in one corner, in one quadrant, and that's called the open area or arena. In a second quadrant is what is known to the self, but not known to others, and that's called the hidden area or the facade. A third quadrant is what is known to others and not the self, which we would call our blind spot, and it's actually how they called that particular quadrant. And then the last quadrant is known neither to ourselves nor to others, and that's just simply called the unknown. In new situations, the various quadrants can each be different sizes, kind of like how you can have a stained glass window that has different size panes inside of the square. So for example, if you start a business and you're not clear on who you serve or what you do for them, then it's unknown to yourself and others, at least at that point in time. The quadrant of unknown might be the biggest at the very beginning. But once you start to gain clarity on your product or service, who you serve, how you do it, but before it's shared with potential clients, before it's out in the world, now the size of the panes can shift so that the unknown is shrinking and the hidden area or the facade grows. And next, when you have your mission and message dialed in, and you're consistently, openly sharing with potential clients through effective marketing, whether that's advertising or speaking or just networking, then you're making yourself and your business known. And that, again, shifts these window panes. So it widens the open area and shrinks the facade or the hidden area. And that unknown may continue to shrink. Now, the same could apply for your understanding of cash flow inside your business or your own money mindset or any other aspect of yourself or your business. The Johari window model is also the foundation for the disclosure feedback model that helps people increase their self-awareness, and that may underpin the idea and the implementation of 360 feedback employee and leadership evaluations. And this is where the brilliance of Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham really shows, and why it came up in group therapy, because they noticed a subtle, iterative, feedback-based process of group members sharing a little bit, getting seen and known or understood by others, receiving feedback from those other people, and then gaining some new insight and perspective on themselves. And what's really fascinating is that it led to a very important aspect of group therapy, the importance of facilitating a process of participants sharing, learning more, gaining perspective on areas of their life, their behavior, thoughts, interactions, and situations that they were previously unaware of and that had been blind spots for them. Okay, let's boil this down to tangible takeaways and tactics. So here's what you can do to reduce your blind spots. First of all, share. Be intentional though, not just sharing with anybody and everybody, but pick one, two, or a small handful of people you will trust to give you their viewpoint or feedback with the intent to help you learn and grow. Pick people whose feedback and perspective are useful and that you can incorporate with your own to get and develop a more 3D, clear image of yourself and your business. For some, that can include mentors, business partners, friends, employees, leadership, or co-leadership. And it can also include hiring a coach, joining an entrepreneur or leadership group, or mastermind. It can even be a peer group, a bunch of entrepreneurs who get together to be each other's extra eyes. One point I will stress, because it's absolutely critical, is to be intentional and ensure that the people you surround yourself with to get that extra perspective and feedback are trustworthy, reliable, and can provide you with a clear point of view that will help you gain a sharper view of yourself and your business. Of course, no matter who you share with and whose perspective or feedback you receive, they're also going to have their blind spots. And the most effective feedback and perspective will be the ones who provide information you can really integrate with your own. And that brings us to the second tip and tactic. The important point is to become more open and consider many different viewpoints. Sometimes it's an unexpected request or maybe an angry piece of feedback from a customer. Sometimes it's a complaint from an employee. It can come from anywhere. In order to reduce your blind spots, it will take time, energy, effort, and resources to really receive and be open to feedback and perspective so that you can effectively integrate it with your own experience and perspective so that you can get a sharper view of reality, of your business, of yourself. That process can also require some accountability and guidance because it's not easy to stick to and it's not easy to know or be sure that you are really on track. So, with all of that in mind, start working on shifting your approach and gather together some people who can help you navigate the process. And to briefly recap, today, I talked about blind spots, how its origins in research and the science of our eyes holds an important principle for how you can uncover and address your blind spots. I also shared research on how our brains handle blind spots by changing how we perceive the world and how it can get in the way of taking effective action. I talked about the Johari window model and tactical tips to help you move from blind spots to open areas that you can then address or harness as you choose. And on that note, I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us today on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make, so that we can make better decisions and get better results.